Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
You're listening to
The Marquee, Dirty 30.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man, woo!
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Marquee Minute with me, your host, Marquee Davis, here in the I Have Way Too Many Kids studio in the heart of Atlanta, Georgia. Now, if this is your first time listening to the show, I will let you know what the show is about. It's pretty much about nothing. I am a vet, did 10-ish years in the military. That's 9 in a couple of months, but I round up, so you know, you can sue me later. I was field artillery, and I have a lot of children with one wife. And I am African-American. That's just to clear up everything so you all can know exactly who I am and what I am about. I am not a liberal. I am not a Democrat. Though some in the chat at the DVRadio.net would like to say otherwise. I am not a conservative. I am not a far left-wing nut job. No, I am middle of the road. I see some issues on the left that I like and some issues on the right that I like. But I am like most Americans. Okay, like most Americans, I want to figure it out for myself. I don't want to be fed the information from just the news outlets and the media. A lot of people only rely on certain media sources, and that is a problem. And me being a part of the media, yes, us here at the DV Radio family are a part of the media, whether we like to believe it or not, DV6, but we are a part of the media. And one thing that I want to get clear is that I love the DV Radio family. And we do have some new shows coming up, and we do have some outstanding fundraisers and things like that coming up for the DV Farm. And I want you guys to stay tuned to Barracks Talk after this program so that you can hear more about that and what's coming up. And I'll give you a little tease here in the program today as well. But before we do anything, let's hit some headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, 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 read all about it.
So yesterday, Bill Cosby, you know, he's on trial right now for some rapes or something like that that happened in the 60s, 70s, 80s. But his trial was declared a mistrial because the jury was deadlocked. Wow. This is coming from Fox News. I'm looking right at the Fox News source here. It's just saying that the judge declared a mistrial in the sexual assault case after the jury deadlocked. 52 hours of deliberation over 6 days. Wow. Wow. So, I mean, you know, I have no feelings, good or bad, towards this. I love the Cosby Show. You know, if he did rape these ladies using a drug back in the day, he should be sent to jail, regardless of how we feel about his show. You know, a rapist is a rapist, whether you want to believe it or not. If he did it, he did it. But again, you got to realize, I don't really understand why it took so long for this to come out. You know, this happened back in, what, the, let me, 19, the 60s, 66, 68, around that time, and continued until the 70s and the 80s. Why did it take so long for these ladies to come out and say that this happened to them? I do understand that there's a fear with rape victims that they will be, you know, pushed aside or told to hush up because, you know, they should shut up. You know, I've heard of that. It happens in the military. It's a stigma with rape victims, even male rape victims. Yes, I have had to deal with a couple of male rape victims in my life. I have had to counsel them and make them go to seek counseling and turn people and to tell on the people who offended them. It's really hard for male rape victims to actually confess. I mean, not confess, but come forward. Okay, so, you know, I can understand why it would take so long, but I guess they're going to do a retrial here. I mean, okay. I mean, what if the same thing happens again? What if there's another deadlock of the jury? Will they consider wasting more taxpayer funds and money for another trial? I can see the second trial, okay? I can see this trial ending in a mistrial and a deadlock, and I can see the next trial happening. But if there's a third trial after this, then that's just a waste of money. Apparently, people do not believe, the jurors do not believe the evidence that the prosecutors are putting forward. I mean, that's happened in this trial, as we all can see. Let's go on. Let's see what, Dennis Rodman. He wrapped up his visit to North Korea. I think it's like his third or fourth one. I was reading earlier that he gave the sports minister over there, he gave them a copy of Donald Trump's book, The Art of the Deal. And I find that kind of funny, the way the rhetoric of Donald Trump is towards North Korea. It's not as strong as mine, because I hate North Korea and that fat leader they got over there, Kim Jong-un. But Kim Jong-un loves Dennis Rodman. He loves basketball. Remember, Kim Jong-un was here in America studying in universities and stuff. He's more westernized than many people would think. That's why he's a little fat, chubby something. And I hate that guy. I really do not like that guy. So let's read. This is from Fox News. Today I am coming from Fox News, people. Yes. So it said, during his visit, Rodman played basketball with men's and women's teams, visiting the city zoo, met Olympic athletes, and presented the country's sports minister with a copy, like I said, of President Donald Trump's book, The Art of the Deal, the unsigned book, and a Where's Waldo travel edition were to be passed on to leader Kim Jong-un, who Rodman had had a previous meeting with in 2013. You know what's funny is that I actually think that Dennis Rodman is trolling. He is trolling them. Oh, man. Donald Trump keeps doing this stuff over there. Well, he was a couple of months ago doing all this stuff over there in the area. And Kim Jong-un kept doing all these ballistic missile tests and stuff like that. And Dennis Rodman says, hey, here's a book. Probably didn't read it. But, you know, it's about that guy who just keeps on pissing you off. You know, stuff like that. Here you go. Here's a book. Oh, man, that's hilarious. Wow. Okay, so I know a lot of you guys probably don't shop here. Guys and gals probably don't shop here, you know. But Amazon bought Whole Foods. They bought Whole Foods. Yes, the healthy, you know, no GMO place that all of the hippies go to. And, you know, hey, I'm going to tell you the truth. They have some really good food. They have this little, this fresh, like fresh cooked bar there and stuff. Oh my God. It's so good. Their pastries are delicious. Trust me on this. If you haven't been to a Whole Foods, go to Whole Foods and just try some of the pastries. And they have these dry aged steaks that is just to die for. You know, it's absolutely amazing. And everybody's like, oh my God, Marquis, a hippie. Oh, wow. No, I worked around the corner from a Whole Foods. I had never been there. And one of my coworkers, we went there, and I used to go there every day for lunch. It was amazing and cheap. But now Amazon has bought Whole Foods, you know, the big market store that a lot of the urban areas are gravitating towards, because they can't get those fresh fruits and vegetables like you can out there in the rural areas, where you have a guy on the side of the street with a sign that says, you know, peaches for $1, watermelon for 50 cents. You know, come over here and get your cucumbers and your radishes and your collard greens, you know, stuff like that. I'm telling you, man, there's so much stupid stuff in the news. Like, this hasn't even been a really good news week. I mean, they came out and told us that the officer who shot Philando Castile has been acquitted of manslaughter, but he has been dismissed from the police force. So if you all don't remember this story, it was probably a year ago. I'm assuming it was a year ago. I can't remember. Yeah, it's July 2016. Philando Castile up in was it Wisconsin, Michigan? Up there. I can't remember the exact days or whatever. You know, I'm sorry. Okay. But he got pulled over for having a broken taillight. But the officer said that he resembled a guy that they were looking for who had did an armed robbery of a store in Minnesota. It was in Minnesota. So when he pulled him over, his girlfriend and I believe their little daughter or her daughter, it was a little girl in the back seat, and she was filming the whole thing, and he told the police officer that he was carrying a gun. And then the officer shot him 5 times. So if you all don't remember that, just Google it, type in Philando Castile, and it will come up. But that officer, what's his name? Yanez, Y-A-N-E-Z, Yankee Alpha November Echo Zulu, has been acquitted of the manslaughter of Philando Castile. Now, when this happened, Black Lives Matter was going rampant. You know, it was a lot of African Americans getting killed by police officers during that time frame. And Black Lives Matter was blocking roadways and having protests and yiggity yakety yakety yik and doing all this kind of stuff. But I don't think they actually influenced any change. I am, like I said at the beginning of the show, I am an African American, and I just didn't see them doing anything that brought about any change. What I did see was them causing a lot of pressure to be placed on the black community. All right, let me clarify that. While this was going on, I worked at a local radio station here in Atlanta, and every day people would ask me, "So how do you feel about this shooting? How do you feel about this shooting? How do you feel about this black guy dying?" And you know, as one of the only, well, as the only African American male who worked at that station at the time, I felt kind of compelled to just tell people to shut up. Like, I don't want to talk about it. It hurts. And the reason it hurts is because I have African American children that I am raising, okay? And if it's 2017 and we still have to ask this question, that's what hurts. Is that because of the color of my skin, I am now deemed as someone who is violent or angry all the time, or someone who is going to commit a crime just because of the color of my skin. Or I've already committed a crime, I just haven't gotten caught yet. You know, that is the world we still live in. This is not 1952 we're talking about here, people. No, this is 2017 that we still have this question being raised. Why? Because Black Lives Matter didn't do enough. And by what I mean by didn't do enough is they didn't get into the community and try to find a way to stop this mindset from being set in this day and age. Like, think about it, okay? Back in the, let's say, 80s, right after, you know, civil rights happened, you know, Martin Luther King had passed away, but we had gotten the African Americans had gotten the legislation passed so that minorities could eat and go to school with the Caucasians here in America, right? So, in the 80s, you know, we still were kind of separate, but we partied together. It was no big deal. You know, if a black guy got killed by a white cop, if a white guy got killed by a black cop, there was no protesting. Why? Because that's just the way it happened. Now, if you look at the numbers, you know, like a lot of people did when this Philando Castile episode happened, they would put out there, you know, that more white people are getting killed by cops than black folks per basis, you know, on a daily basis. But then you would have people come back and retort and say, yeah, but look at the population numbers. You know, white people are around like 67-70% of the population here in America, where black folks are around 25-30% of the population here in America. So it's a disproportionate amount. What I got to say to that is shut up. We're all freaking Americans, okay? If one American kills another American, that is a disgrace. White, black, red, all over, it don't really matter, because if one American kills another American, that is a disgrace. Let's think about this, people. When we were in Iraq or Vietnam, well, I'll go with Iraq because you Vietnam guys are crazy. Trust me, crazy. But I love you to death. But while in Iraq, we had our TTPs. We had our escalation of force, you know. You had, what was it, the five S's. Show, shout, shoot to kill. You know, something like that. I don't remember, a long time ago. But that was it. We had our five S's. Escalation of force. So what we saw during this time in 2016, when they shot Philando Castile, was not an escalation of force. It was just a straight shoot to kill. Why do they have pepper spray, a taser, a baton, if they're just going to pull their gun and kill. That's my only problem that I have seeing with this. And what's funny is Geronimo Yanez is not even a white guy. No, Geronimo Yanez is probably Hispanic, probably Native American. I don't know, but I know he's not a white guy, as people would like to say. No, he's not. Either way it goes, we have to stop this divide of Black Lives Matter, of White Lives Matter, of Hispanic Lives Matter, of the NWO, the New World Order. Woo! We have to stop this divide here in America. First thing we have to do is come together as a nation. Now, we need a strong leader to do that. In order for that to happen, our leader needs to stop tweeting every 4 or 5 seconds. Our leaders need to stop fighting and bickering amongst each other in Congress over who gets paid more, over having this, getting rid of Obamacare and putting in a new healthcare system that they don't have to abide by. That's the problem. We allow the leaders here in America to get away with murder, because that's essentially what they're doing with this healthcare proposal and even the old healthcare plan, Obamacare, is murder. But we don't say anything about that. No, we don't. No, 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 no. I voted for Nancy Pelosi. She is the best. I voted for such and that person is the best. The reason I said Nancy Pelosi, she's on my screen right now. I'm looking at a picture of Nancy Pelosi. God, she's ugly. But you have to understand that America was founded on principles of unity, on principles of being free. That is what America was founded on. And today we are we're very rapidly going towards the idea that money rules everything. Chivalry is dead. And the reason it is dead is because money rules everything. The day of the man walking on the car side of the street while the woman walks on the inside is dead. Why? Because money rules everything. I make more money than you, so you can't tell me what to do. When are we going to get back to a country where I can leave my door unlocked and know that my neighbors will watch my kids if they are outside playing? When are we going to get back to that? Now, I know in some communities there are, and there still is, that type of camaraderie. You know? But I read a story the other day where a black guy won the lottery, moved into a nice, wealthy neighborhood. I believe it was in North Carolina. And his neighbors called the police on him every day. Every day. He was moving furniture in. Everything. Every day they call the police on him because of the color of his skin. When are we going to get over that? When are we going to realize that we all do the same? We all bleed red. We all have orgasms, people. I said it. It happens. We do it. This is an adult show. Hopefully no kids are listening to any of these shows, you know. But, you know, it happens. We have babies. And when the babies come out of the womb and out into the air, they come through a vagina. Now, I'm pretty sure a white woman has a vagina, just like a black woman has a vagina, and just like an Asian woman has a vagina, just like a mixed African and Ethiopian girl, Eskimo girl has a vagina, just like an African-American man has a penis, and a white man has a penis, and a white, you know, elephant has a, you know, you get the point. You get the point. We have the same physical makeup, except for the color of our skin. And yet and still, we still segregate ourselves by calling our organizations things like Black Lives Matter. You understand what I'm saying? You see where I'm going here with this? You see where I'm going with this? Oh, my goodness. You know, I can go on all day about racial issues and how, you know, they're stupid. They are literally stupid. They are probably the stupidest thing to ever happen to people is to judge someone based off of their race. You should judge someone based off of their knowledge and their creeds and how they treat other people, how they raise their children, how they take care of their home. That is how you should be treating and judging other people. Now, the Bible says you shouldn't judge anyone. Now, for those of you who don't believe in the Bible, you know, you shouldn't judge anyone. Golden rule, treat everyone how you want to be treated. That should be the way that we in America see and justify things. But we don't. No, 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 no. We don't. We do not. And why don't we do that? Why? Why don't we do that? Tell me, why don't we do that? Why does it matter what color the skin of my daughter's boyfriend is when she gets of age to date someone? I do not care. As long as he is treating my daughter right, I will be fine with him until he screws up, and then I will have to screw him up. That is how we should be thinking here in America, but we do not. How do we think? How do we think? What's your political affiliation? Oh, since you're black, you're at the bottom of the barrel of that political affiliation. Why are you in my neighborhood if you are this skin color? You shouldn't be around these parts, boy. That's how we think here in America. Pretty much around the whole globe. Look at South America. Look at South Africa. South Africa and apartheid. Okay. All right. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. I just ran it about racial issues. I know. But it's something that is deep in my heart. And I know as vets, we don't really see color. Simply because we have fought beside each other. Red, white, blue, green. It doesn't matter. And we know that each person is a person. But when you get onto the news and you see people upset because a police officer who thought his life was in danger fired his weapons because he didn't have proper training, instead of using the least deadly weapon first, which would have been his taser, instead of using that, he used straight the gun. Now we have people upset on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and on the news cycle. They're upset because he was acquitted of manslaughter. Anyway, after we get back from the break, we're going to talk about children. We are going to talk about children. Now, if that doesn't tingle your fancies or get your mind in a twizzle-dizzle, I don't know what will. So, when we get back from the break, we're going to talk about that. But you are listening to the Marquee Dirty 30 here on DBRadio.net. Look, baby
girl, you're so damn. Ever shop online at smile.amazon.com? Why not give back to the DV Farm by making it your charity of choice? No extra fees or hidden costs, and a portion of your purchase goes directly towards the DV Farm, located in Gilsum, New Hampshire, and helping to continue its mission. That's smile.amazon.com, and be sure DV Farm is your charity of choice. For more information about the DV Farm, please go to dvfarm.org. DV Radio is for our fellow brothers and sisters, and it's all free of charge for our listeners, our guests, and even those that have shows right here on DVRadio.net. We do everything in-house, from mixing and recording ads and shows to the website and all that you get from us. We love promoting veteran-owned businesses and highlighting those in the veteran community. So if you would like to continue to hear what we bring to you and have even more in the future with the best quality that we can possibly bring to you, please head over to DVRadio.net and click that PayPal donation button. Any amount is welcome, from $1 to $100 million that your uncle lets you in his trust fund. So please head over to dvradio.net and click that PayPal donation button right now. Oh, ah.
DV Radio.
Sexual chocolate. They taste so fine, don't you agree?
I believe the children are our future.
Thank you.
Teach them well and let them lead.
Thank you, Randy Watson, for bringing us back in from the break. If you don't know that song, it's from Coming to America, one of a very funny movie by Eddie Murphy back in the 80s, 90s, one of those decades. Very funny movie. You should check it out if you have not seen it. So, talking about children. Going down my Facebook timeline, I have been seeing nothing but these last couple of weeks of people saying, you know, congratulations to my child for graduating high school. Let me clear my throat. You are supposed to graduate high school. I mean, I know a lot of us didn't. I know certain people did not accomplish that that feat. But in today's day and age, high school is probably the easiest thing you will do in your life. It is. You have your parents wake you up every morning. You have your parents either take you to school or walk you to the bus stop, or you know the schedule. You are supposed to graduate high school. It's simple. It's easy. I mean, you go to school, you get two free meals. You sit in a class, and you just have to do some paperwork. You talk with your friends. It's not that big of an accomplishment, people. It really isn't. I mean, you can't even get a job nowadays without having a high school degree or a GED, you know, your general education diploma or degree or whatever they call it. I mean, you can't even get in the military without a high school diploma or a GED. I do not understand why we glorify things that we are supposed to do. The same thing goes with guys who say that they pay child support or that they're in their children's lives and things of that nature. Because, you know, Father's Day is tomorrow. So, hello, fathers, I guess. And congratulations. I don't know what to say. But it's like, you are supposed to take care of your children. You laid down with that woman and had them. So, you're supposed to take care of them. You are supposed to graduate high school. It's 12 years of your life that you just have to wake up, sit in the classroom, come home. Now, my children know the prerequisite to getting anywhere with me in their life. That is making good grades and going to school. They will not miss a day of school unless they are deathly ill. I'm sorry. I said it. Okay? I did a lot of screwed up things in my life. All right? I will not allow my children to do the same stupid things that I did. I won't. I will make them graduate high school if they have to go 14, 15 years until the maximum age they will get their high school diploma, and then they will go to college because I will pay for it. I will sign the paper so that they can go to college on my dime. I'm already started and saved up a lot of money for my children to go to college. I have a lot of kids, people. If you don't know, I have five. All right. So I don't understand why it's such a celebration that they finished 12 years of school. The celebration comes when they get out of the house and begin to make something of themselves. Understand what I'm saying? My children, when they become of age and they go to college, they finish a 2-year degree. That's fine with me. As long as they get out of college and begin to make something of themselves, whether it be, you know, manager over here at Costco or a shift leader here, or doing something that they want to pursue and they want to do. As long as they are doing something with their lives to make me proud, okay, and show that I wasn't a failure as a parent, then I am satisfied. Graduating high school is not something that I am satisfied with. No, my children will pursue higher dreams. And I believe every American should have that same goal. Your children should do better than you ever did. They should achieve more than I ever accomplished. Okay, you see here, I'm here on DVRadio.net giving you my opinions on things and talking and spilling and yelling and sometimes cursing and things of that nature. Well, my son and my daughters, they should be on television doing the same thing on a TV show on Fox News or NBC or MSNBC or ABC. I don't care which station it is. They should be doing the same exact thing, but better. They should be doing it more often. They should have more passion, more drive than I ever did. Because the children are the future. Whitney Houston said it best in her song. The children are the future. Your children out there, DV Radio listeners, podcast listeners, they are the future. So we should try to raise them right. Show them the correct way to do things. Show them what being a strong person, a loyal American, a patriotic person is. Don't show them, you know, things that are happening in the world that are racially biased and then talk about it over the dinner table. That is how you create racist children. Children do not see the skin color of other children. Not unless they're taught it at home. Yeah, this whole episode has been about race. I don't even care. You can email me. I don't care. At LimaCharlieRadio@gmail.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at DV Marquee. And you can message me there. Reach out to me. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid at all. You can reach out to me. Talk to me. Ask me questions. DV Hawks and DV Snafu do it all the time. All the time. All of the time. My God, all of the time. But you can do it too, all right? So, remember to stay tuned and listen in to Barrett's Talk, which is coming up in about a short 2 minutes, maybe after this commercial break. But then you're going to have me, Marquis Davis, DV6, DV Bo, You're going to have DV Recoil and DV Google. Maybe SRP will make an appearance. I don't know. But we will be there, and we will be talking. You have been listening to the Marquee Dirty 30 here on DVRadio.net. Remember to donate, and remember to treat everyone like you want to be treated. And that's it. See you on the flip side.
DV Radio.
Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
You're listening to
The Marquee.
Woo!
33.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. Woo!
And welcome to the Marquee Dirty 30 here on DVRadio.net. I am your host, Marquee Davis, coming to you live. No, I'm not. But I'm coming to you from my studio here in Atlanta, Georgia. And I've been gone for about 2 weeks. Didn't have a mic. My mic was broken. My kids broke my mic. But I do have a new mic, so I may sound a little different until I can figure out the settings. But I have a new mic. So, DV Nog sent me some very interesting videos to watch on YouTube, and I was going to discuss that this week until something caught my eye. I was scrolling through Facebook, and I went upon this page for veterans and active duty soldiers. It wasn't the DV page. I was just scrolling through. I think it was U.S. Army What the Fuck Moments or something like that, WTF Moments, U.S. Army, something like that. And I was scrolling through, and they were having this discussion about, one of their reporters, quote unquote, was giving them information about what was going on over in Korea with a certain MP battalion. Okay, if you regularly listen to the show, you would know that right now we'd be doing the headlines. But this right here has really irked my nerves. It's the fact that they sent out, they had a video of them doing a TA-50 layout in the rain. They had all of the dirty secrets of that unit being aired out via this Facebook page, such as the old commander sleeping around with the old XO. And when he fired her, she got upset and sent out the sex tape that they made together to the battalion commander. And so they let him go, but they went on to let him become something bigger and better, I believe, or something like that. And she went on to be the XO at another company. Also, they exposed that the first sergeant, but he left and became a sergeant major. Now, the thing that is irking my nerves about this is that with social media being so prevalent nowadays, why are we always trying to expose everything and everyone via social media? Think about this, okay? Back when I was in the service, we had social media towards the end of my career, you know. I mean, we had it at the beginning, you know, MySpace and things of that nature. I joined in 2005, just in case people don't know that. But we didn't use it like that. We used it to connect with each other, find girlfriends, you know, hook up, things like that. We didn't use it to try to make our chain of command look bad. Now, I know that there is terrible leadership throughout the military. I know that there's terrible leadership throughout the civilian sector, okay? But what is getting on my nerves about this is that every little thing that a soldier, NCO, or an officer doesn't agree with comes to happens in the unit, they want to go on social media and blast them for it. Apparently, with this new generation of soldiers who are, you know, kind of soft, if you ask me, they are afraid to do anything that might make them do anything, if that makes any sense. Think about this, okay? So, you have soldiers, you have a planned TA-50 layout, and next thing you know, it starts to rain. Well, it's raining that morning, so, why cancel it? Just go wash your TA-50. And one of the things I saw on there was they were saying that in the barracks there's only 200 washing machines and dryers. So I think they had the whole battalion doing the layout. I'm not really sure about this, but I mean, I hated TA 50 layouts too, but still, you have to get them done, because think about this. When you ETS, PCS, and you're missing something, you have to pay for it. So as a leader, you have to make sure that your soldiers are accountable. That's at all levels. Simply, that's just simple, plain and simple. You have to make sure that everyone is accountable for their gear and their actions. That's it. And then I was, you know, continuing to read, and I guess the commander had made it a CCIR if anyone had posted or sent any messages to or was contacted by U.S. Army WTF moments or something like that. I think that's the Facebook page. I can't really remember, and I don't feel like looking it up. Sue me. But in today's United States Army, I find it funny that we want to use social media, take pictures of when I do leadership things. If I'm checking your barracks room in the morning, why are you taking a picture of me having all you guys pull your stuff out of your room because it's dirty? If your room is dirty and you stay in the barracks, guess what's going to happen? You are going to have a GI party. We are going to clean this barracks room up. We are going to clean this entire barracks up. If I come to the barracks and I see that you have a female in there, if you're in an all-male barracks, after hours, and I'm on CQ, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to instill leadership and discipline by removing that female from the premises, and then you are going to have to do something to account for your actions. If there are rules in place, you have to account for your actions. And that is something that a lot of these new soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen, well, I won't say Marines, those guys are kind of gung-ho. I don't know why, they eat too many crayons. But this is something that they're not taught at home. So they have their cell phone, the basic training now. Even though a lot of my buddies are drill sergeants, you know, over at Fort Sill, and I got a couple at Fort Stewart that I serve with. They're now fantastic drill sergeants, but they have set forth by their leadership. So if their leadership says that the soldiers on the weekend, they have to abide by that. But then they get to the real unit and see what the real military is like. My brother-in-law just in a couple days to go to basic training for the Navy. And I told him, I said, look, you know, I don't know how the Navy basic training is, okay? But either way it go, they're going to break you down and build you up. I mean, that's pretty much the basic model throughout the entire military. You know, I said, when you get to your real unit, when you get to your final unit, after basic training and your training for your particular job, you'll see what the real military is like. You'll see, okay? And that is something that a lot of these drill sergeants and AIT instructors are not instilling in these new soldiers. They're not telling them that when they get to their unit, I don't care how great of a PT stud you are, I don't care how great of a shot you are, you must abide by the simple rules and regulations that we place forth in this unit. And if you get upset with it, go to social media. I don't care if you go to social media, because I'm just going to put on social media behind you the rules and regulations which you fail to adhere to. I remember the first time I got an Article 15, my first sergeant at the time, he's a sergeant major now, great guy. He told me, he said, look, we love you to death, Davis. We are not punishing you. We are punishing your actions. And that's what people have to remember. That's what these new soldiers have to learn. That if your room is messed up, or if you have to do it because you lost something or someone else lost something, you are not getting punished. This is not mass punishment. The rules and regulations set forth by the chain of command. Now, you do have toxic leaders out there. I was once considered a toxic leader. But I was brought up with toxic, quote unquote, leadership. You know, people having and making me do push-ups and sit-ups and smoking me. You know, they're making me be accountable pocket or reducing me in rank every time I do anything wrong. But I seem, but it's leadership wants you to do. They want you to, well, the higher-ups want you to put everything on paper. You know, do a 4856 because that soldier was late. Why can't I just make him do push-ups? He's a good guy. He just happened to oversleep one time. Make him do some extra push-ups. Make him run a couple extra laps. You know, make him stay a little bit later. But no, let's do a 4856 and take rank. And let's take their time away from them. You know, but with this generation of soldiers, I can see why that is more effective than push-ups and sit-ups. You know, right before I got out, we started getting a lot of these millennial soldiers in, and if I would yell and scream and curse, they wouldn't respond like some of the older soldiers I had would do. They would bottle up. They would get upset. They would go tell First Sergeant. They would send cryptic text messages to the platoon sergeant. You know, they would have the platoon leader come talk to me. And they'll be like, Sergeant Davis, I heard you did such and such like this, and you did this and that and the other. You know, that can be deemed as toxic leadership. And then I would simply always say, you know, so while we're in Afghanistan and we're getting shot at, you want me to simply just tell the guy, hey, private dummy, why don't you just tuck your head down? You know, those are bullets flying over us. Those are bullets. No, I'm going to be screaming and yelling, telling them what to do because they do not know. When I first deployed, I did not know. We trained for it, but I did not know. I did not know what the sound of a live bullet coming past my head sounded like. I did not know what a rocket flying over the fob or into the fob sounded like. I did not know. It had to happen, and someone had to teach me through very forceful and loud leadership. That's what I'm going to call it. Forceful and loud leadership. But what are we supposed to do? As veterans, as active duty service members, what are we supposed to do? Because then we're going to have these soft soldiers, Navy sailors, airmen, Marines. I'm lumping you all together as soldiers because that's pretty much what all the civilians think everybody is anyway, is a soldier. You know, so we're going to have all of these soft soldiers coming out, going to the DAV, the VFW, things of that nature. And if you listen to some of the stories of how the World War II veterans treated the Vietnam veterans and how they didn't really mesh at some of these institutions, I think that's kind of what's going to happen. We're going to have the Iraqi, Afghani veterans not meshing well with the... Oh, my goodness. But yeah, that pretty much preoccupied my days these last couple of weeks, is going through that page and just surfing through and seeing what soldiers were getting upset about and trying to expose their leadership, trying to expose their chain of command. I promise you, most of the time, the chain of command has the best interest of the soldiers in mind. Now, don't get upset and say, oh, no, I remember this one time. We all have that instance and that incident where we know they didn't care about us, and we know that they were only looking out for themselves, and we know that they were only trying to give themselves a little bit, you know, more brass on the chest. But why are we trying to expose Facebook? Why? What is the point? What is this negative eye on your unit, which is going to then bring down harsher restrictions and more punishment in the long run? I was reading on that site as well that, and then received an Article 15 because, you know, they can do that. And then you have the E4 Mafia. The E4 Mafia coming out, the barracks lawyers coming out, telling these new soldiers how they can, you know, give it to the man, you know, stick it to him, you know, things like that. You know, you can really screw over the chain of command if you post this on Facebook, but they don't post it. No, they get some brand new private who don't know to post it. You know, this is egregious. This is what they're making us do. It's 95 degrees outside, slightly raining. The sun is out. Why are we doing training? Why are we doing readiness? Why are we doing paperwork? Oh, my goodness. Yes, there is some sloppy, terrible leadership out there. There is. But I promise you, if you are listening to the sound of my voice and you have served or are serving in the military, there is a reason behind the madness. There's a method to the madness, okay? It's for a reason. I mean, think about it, okay? You listen to Barracks Talk, you know, right after this show at 2100 here on DVRadio.net. Notice is the Marquee Dirty 30, and I am Marquee Davis. But there is a method to the madness. When we have the show and DV6 is pressing buttons and things start going awry, there's a reason for it, I think, Bo. But hey, you are listening to the Marquee Dirty 30 here on DVRadio.net. We're going to hit some headlines after the break.
Yes, we're going to hit some headlines after the break. I'm done talking about military leadership because it's good and sometimes it's bad and blah, 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 blah. So stay tuned after the break and we'll hit some headlines.
Love is a wonderful thing. I said love.
Love is a wonderful thing.
Ever shop online at smile.amazon.com? Why not give back to the DV Farm by making it your charity of choice? No extra fees or hidden costs, and a portion of your purchase goes directly towards the DV Farm, located in Gilsum, New Hampshire, and helping to continue its mission. That's smile.amazon.com, and be sure DV Farm is your charity of choice. For more information about the DV Farm, please go to dvfarm.org. DV Radio is for our fellow brothers and sisters, and it's all free of charge for our listeners, our guests, and even those that have shows right here on DVRadio.net. We do everything in-house, from mixing and recording ads and shows to the website and all that you get from us. We love promoting veteran-owned businesses and highlighting those in the veteran community. So if you would like to continue to hear what we bring to you and have even more in the future with the best quality that we can possibly bring to you, please head over to DVRadio.net and click that PayPal donation button. Any amount is welcome, from $1 to $100 million that your uncle lets you in his trust fund. So please head over to dvradio.net and click that PayPal donation button right now. Oh, ah, ah, ah.
DV Radio.
And welcome back to the Marquee Dirty 30 here on DVRadio.net. I am your host, Marquee Davis. And as promised, let's hit some headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, 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 read all about it.
So if you did not know this, North Korea has fired a new ICBM. Yes, a brand new one. And I was reading online and A lot of the professionals don't know what kind of ICBM this is. North Korea. So North Korea has fired 17 missiles during 11 tests since February. All right. They're increasing their technology each launch. Oh, wow. So on July 4th, happy Independence Day, North Korea conducted its first ever test of an ICBM, which it claims could reach anywhere in the world. Of the missiles tested before that, one was an intermediate range, two were medium range, and eight were either short range or medium range, and the range of one is unknown, according to various North Korea watchers. Four fired on June 8th were believed to be surface-to-ship cruise missiles. So North Korea is now trying to... Well, they've been trying to, but they're still just a poor country with a fat, stupid leader that I utterly can't stand. I despise North Korea with everything in my body. I hate North Korea. Not the people. It's the leadership. It's like they are the, what did I say last time? The littlest child in the family who always wants attention but never gets it. And then when they do something bad, they get the most attention by getting their butt whooped. My goodness, North Korea. You really just want to piss off the entire world. You're trying to come up with nukes, and now you have an ICBM that you just tested. I don't know how you got the technology. Well, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say what I was going to say because I don't want to offend anybody who might be Korean or Asian in heritage. So... But Asians are really smart. I say that much. So North Korea, you now have your ICBM. What do you plan to do with it? That's the million-dollar question. What does North Korea plan to do with their ICBM? I'll tell you, nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. If North Korea was to get in a war, they wouldn't have enough food to feed any of their military personnel. And then their greatest ally, China, probably would not back them up. Why? Because right now China is looking at the fiscal market. They're not looking to be a world power physically. They're looking to be a world power monetarily. You see how China is just buying up stocks left and right? Just Google it and look around. You'll see they're buying companies. They're building more infrastructure. And what is North Korea doing? Feeding their fat little emperor or leader or whatever he is over there, their little demigod. And they are wasting money on ballistics and missiles and things of that nature. Why? Why? What do they have to gain by building all of this? I mean, look at China, okay? In World War II, China was getting their butt kicked in Japan left and right. It was a desolate country. No one wanted to be anywhere near China, okay? Then they slowly started to build up infrastructure, build technology, slowly build a technology. They weren't building ballistas and missiles and things of that nature. No, they were just slowly building up infrastructure, educational systems. Even though, you know, we may not agree with them here in America, they were building those kind of things. And now they are probably the number one economy in the world. I really don't know. Or the number two. I know they were the number two a couple years ago. But still, think about this. America owes China $200 billion. I know that. So, what do we owe North Korea? A butt whooping. That's what we owe North Korea. We need to go over there and just kick their butts. Moving on. I'm sorry. I got off on North Korea again. Okay, so I was reading a story about a guy who was killed in Vietnam, but he came back to life. All right. Ronald Ridgway. Him and his troop were attacked in North Korea. Vietnam, back during the Vietnam War. And everyone in his troop died. Everyone. He was 18. They told his parents, made an announcement over his high school intercom, even had a headstone placed and made for him because they couldn't identify all of the bodies. But in reality, he was actually captured and taken to a POW camp in Vietnam, where he stayed until 1973, where he was released. And just think about this, people, okay? Everyone in your family thinks you're dead. You know, they can't positively identify any of the bodies because of the burning, the artillery fire, the gunshot wounds, things of that nature. If you read the story, it's from the Washington Post. It's a really, really, really good read. If you read his story, it's a really good read. Ronald Ridgway, R-I-G-E-W-A-Y, first name Ronald. It's a really good story. Not even a story. It's really good real life. Just him, you know. But wow. I mean, just imagine your entire family thinking that you are dead and deceased overseas. But you come back, and I think he retired from the VA. Yeah, the story says that he retired from the VA, and golly, I don't know how it would feel to come back from the dead. Everybody thinks you're dead. People are receiving benefits because you're dead, but nope, I'm here. I was captured. I mean, I don't mean to laugh, but, you know, you look at the situation and you look at how you would come back home and be like, wow, you all really thought I was gone, but I'm here. Surprise. But, man, his story is fascinating. I highly recommend you all read it. Now, the next article, it happened a couple days ago. I believe Friday morning or Thursday morning here in Georgia. A woman was arrested Thursday morning, after she fatally stabbed her husband and four young children in Gwinnett County. The fifth child, a nine-year-old, was transported to a local hospital with serious injuries. You know, me and my wife, we watched Snapped and Investigation Discovery, that channel, and, you know, things of that nature. You know, we watch it together. And I've never understood how a mother could kill her children. I mean, you carried these children for 9 months inside of you. You took care of them. You've done everything you can for them. 33-year-old lady, Isabel Martinez. My goodness. Charged with five counts of murder, five counts of malicious murder, and 6 counts of aggravated assault. She's also being held by the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, police said, adding that she is being cooperative with investigators. Oh, my God. All of the kids were under the age of 10, and the police did not release a motive for the attack. I can tell you one thing, that she is a sick, sick, sick individual. And whatever she got coming to her, she deserves it. Those children never asked to be in this world. I have 5 children. I never asked one of them to come into this world. Her husband, if she had a problem with him, she could have killed him. You know, I mean, you know, I watch enough stories on television to realize that it happens. It's stupid, but it happens. But those children had nothing, nothing to do with whatever you and your husband was going through. And you stabbed them. You stabbed them. You killed them for no reason. I mean, the police don't even know what the motive was. Well, it couldn't have been insurance money. I mean, because you stabbed everybody. I mean, you just trying to get away from them? Just leave. Just up and leave. I don't like to hear stories of children being harmed, children being hurt, children being kidnapped. I don't like to hear things about children being a victim, because most children don't know. Most children don't have an understanding. They probably thought at first that mommy was just coming into the room to kiss them goodnight or to wake them up for the morning. I don't know what time this happened, you know. I just thought mommy was coming in there to do that, but no, she stabbed all of them. And if you think about how children are, they probably just stood there, you know, after the first one, they probably start to cry. And I have 5 children. We all know this. And I really could not see my children crying because their mother has went insane and done something to me and them. I wouldn't want to live through that. I mean, I wouldn't want to have to wake up every morning knowing that my wife done something like that. My goodness. I mean, she did kill the husband, but just thinking about it just rips at your heart. I don't care what kind of cold-hearted individual you may think you are. Read the story. See that these children had nothing to do with anything she was planning. You know, she just killed them. Just killed them. She may have a mental problem, but I doubt that because it says in the story that she is cooperating with the police officers. Probably telling them everything that was going through her mind at the time. Pardon my French, but this bitch needs to fry. She needs to fry. And she did it here in Georgia, so they're going to fry her. Oh, not fry. They're probably going to lethally inject her, but she needs to fry. She needs to feel the pain that she caused these children and her husband. She needs to feel it deep within her soul. She needs to feel the pain. And yes, I am getting kind of emotional about this because I see my children every day and I would never wish any harm on them. And if you have children, you know, you don't want anything bad to happen to your children, especially not by their mother. Especially not by their mother. And with that, we're going to have Barracks Talk coming up here with, I don't know who's going to be on the show, but I can promise a guest is going to be DV6. DV Boner Wood, DV Recoil, DV Google, and myself, Marquis Davis. You can follow me on Twitter at Marquis A. Davis 1. You can follow me on Facebook at DV Marquis. You can email me at LimaCharlieRadio@gmail.com. All right. LimaCharlieRadio@gmail.com. And you can listen then every Saturday at 20:30 here on DVRadio.net. I am your host, Marquis Davis, and this has been the Marquis Dirty 30. Sayonara, señoritas. See you later. Masapitas. I don't know. That's not Spanish. I don't know. All right. Peace out, people. I'll see you in about 10 seconds. Barracks Talk.